Who needs friends when you have a pastor like Chip Henderson to tell you all the good things about you? Man, I am excited certainly for him as he gets to get away for some much needed rest as he shepherds our church family so well on a week in and week out basis. And I'm super excited about the month of July. It's hard to believe that summer is halfway over and then you walk outside and it is hot. Amen? It is smoking out there. And for a guy that's bald, I just sweat all the time and there's sweat that comes dripping down my face. It's terrible. Some of you bald men out there understand what I'm talking about. But man, we're glad that you chose to be with us today, whether you're in the room here at the Reservoir, online, at any of our campuses in Starville and Oxford, Madison, Clinton, and as I said a minute ago, here at the Res. We're glad that you chose to kick off the month of July with us. And it's going to be an incredible, incredible month. And we're believing for more today. As Chip said a minute ago on the video, I am a student pastor. I've been a student pastor for a little over 13 years now, probably and partially because the way that I kind of grew up, I certainly was a knucklehead and Jesus changed my life later on in my life, but I always let common sense prevail. Anybody in the room, let common sense prevail. Anybody online with me, you know what to do, you know what's right, and even though you may take a bad step forward, that you would know that common sense would prevail no matter what. When I was in high school, I'm from the Madison County area. Shout out to our Madison family there. And I got into we'll call it a verbal altercation with a guy from Canton. Now, if you know Canton, Mississippi, those boys are just bred different. And so we got into this verbal altercation, and eventually it turned into what was requested to be a physical altercation. Sorry, Mom, if you're hearing this as I'm telling this story. And so we decided we're going to go fisticuffs. And so I get in my little 1997 Ford Ranger, and I take off up I-55 towards Canton one night. And I get to this dirt road, and I turn down this dirt road, and I don't see just one set of headlights. I see a few sets of headlights. And so I roll down my window. You know, we had to do it back like this back then. And I hold my head out the window, and I hear not just one voice, but a few sets of voices talking about what they, not what he, but what they were going to do to me. And so I put that standard in reverse and I drove away and I called him and I said, hey, we're good. We're good. We're good. Whatever it was, you win, I lose. And we became good friends after that. And common sense in my life has always prevailed. Even though I didn't choose it, I knew that common sense was there in a situation. You know, the Bible is littered with common sense. Here's a common sense statement for you right now. If you walk by the Spirit, you won't mess things up. If you walk by the Spirit, you won't mess things up. Here's a little bit deeper way to say that. Walking by the Spirit is our aim as we pursue holiness. So we're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. You can turn in your Bible, your copy of God's Word. There's one under your seat right now. You can go get yours if you're at home and you can follow along, or it's going to be on the screen for us as we talk through this truth. It's not just an idea. It's a truth that if you walk by the Spirit, you won't mess things up. It sounds pretty easy. Right? If I just gave that to you on a silver platter and said, this is what we're talking about, this is our aim, this is our focus, walk by the Spirit, you won't mess things up. Sounds pretty easy, but it's way more complicated than that. Here are a couple of reasons it's complicated. The first one is that you have an enemy out there right now that is waiting to devour you. An enemy that wants to take you out. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. If you know Jesus, you're that someone today. He is coming after you. So one of the reasons is because you have an enemy that's seeking to devour you. The second reason is you and me, we can't get out of our own way. Therefore, we create a war within ourselves between the flesh and the Spirit. And this is what God's Word says about it in Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. We're going to read the whole thing to verse 25, so follow along on the screen or in your own copy of God's Word. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, jealousy,
Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Here's the good news. But verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Here's the good news today. Is that in this war within, the war against the flesh and the war against the Spirit's going to win. The Bible says yours is the victory, and that's talking about Jesus himself, the victory that's fought on our behalf. And so why not today, on July the 2nd, 2023, why not just concede victory? Hey, we're going to lose anyways. The flesh is not going to win. And so today, why not just concede victory? And so as we break this passage down together, seeing that there's a war between the flesh and a war between the Spirit, let's ask four questions. Let's keep it simple today. Four questions on why we would do this and what we can do about it to change it, right? If I'm just going to give you a common sense statement, walk by the Spirit and you won't mess things up. I can give you another one, walk by the flesh, you're going to mess things up. How could we do that and how do we get away from that specifically? So here's your first question. Why do we go to war with the Spirit? Verse 17, we read just a second ago, says, for the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another so that you may not do the things that you please. We go to war with the Spirit because the flesh becomes the things that we please. Because we want, we think we need. Every time we take our kids to a candy store or a toy store, what do? I want this, I need that. It's in our human nature, right? Because the flesh, the moment that we're born, begins to fight against the Spirit, right? The flesh, the enemy who comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy, he knows the good news. He knows that Jesus can seek and save the lost, and that he not just can, but he did. And so immediately, the moment that we're born, we start this want and this need and this self selfishness amongst ourselves. The deeds of the flesh become the things that we please. So how do we fix it? Well, Psalm 37:4 gives us a good blueprint. It says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. So are the things that we please the things of the Lord? Are we just delighting ourselves in who God is, in what God has done, and in what he can do in our lives? His presence is a place of pleasure for those that know him. His pleasure brings comfort. His pleasure brings peace. His pleasure brings joy. We'll get to those words in just a minute in this passage. But knowledge is comfort in knowing who he is. You remember that old commercial, the Holiday Inn Express commercials where somebody would stub their toe or break their arm and somebody would come out and they'd say, oh, a doctor. And he'd go, oh, I'm not a doctor. I just stayed at a Holiday Inn Express once. My dad is a petroleum geologist. I don't know what that means, and I really don't know how to spell it. And so if you have petroleum geology questions, you should find him or you should Google it. But I'm as closely and deeply as connected as you can be, short of my mom, to a petroleum geologist. Unless you are one, or the spouse of one, or the child of one, I've got you beat. I'm as close as you can get to one. For 33 years, he took care, well, for most of 33 years, he took care of me. As close as you can get, but I don't have a clue to do anything when it comes to petroleum geology. I can't give you many details about what in the world he does. The same is true for some of us sitting in the room today. You know who God is. You know what he can do. But that's about as far as it goes. We come on Christmas. We come on Easter. We come when Mama asks us on Mother's Day. We come on Father's Day because our wives beg us to. But that's about as far as it goes. But when you start learning the things of God and you start desiring his word, hiding his word in your heart so that you may not sin against him, you start realizing that there's a comfort and a peace that comes alongside that. That you can understand and acknowledge that Jesus didn't just come for them, he came for me. Yes, he came for them, but he came for me as well. And he's got something for me. And so knowledge becomes this peace. Knowledge becomes this comfort. Knowledge becomes trust. We get to lean in on Sunday mornings. You're here already. You're at your campus already. And so step one is already completed. Check. We've checked the box. But it's so much more than that. Get plugged into a small group. Get plugged into life with believers. Get plugged into his word. Every one of our campuses has an opportunity to engage in an L3 plan. You can go to the Pine Lake app right now and download an L3 plan and engage in God's word right now. Because knowledge is comfort and it brings peace. But if you don't know, then it's easier not to trust. Therefore, we are not following. Therefore, we commence war within. And then we're following the flesh and not the spirit. That's the why. So what happens when we let the flesh win? And oh, by the way, we let the flesh win. This is not a, well, the flesh won. This is us stepping in and making a decision and letting the flesh win. We've been given choice. And so when the flesh wins, that's us making that choice. The Bible says in 19 through 21, it gives us a blueprint of what it means when the flesh wins. The deeds of the flesh are evident. They're immorality, they're impurity, they're sensuality, they're jealousy, they're idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. The deeds of the flesh are evident. My study Bible that I read at home, it notes that some of these sins are obvious and some are a little more subtle. This list that Paul gives us in this book, Galatians, they're broken down into four specific sections. So it catches us all. The first section are the first three. They're violations of sexual morality. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, the enjoyment of physical pleasure. The second set, the next two are two religious, from the religious realm, idolatry and sorcery. The next eight, the third set, are more social sins. Enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. When we get together and we come together and we fight against people specifically. And the final two are worldly, of drunkenness and carousing. He catches us all. And so you may look at this list and go, I only hit one of them. I'm good to go today. I may have gotten three on a bad day. You ever heard that old phrase, a bad apple spoils the whole bunch? Not just a phrase, it's real. If you have a bunch of apples and one apple is bad, it starts emitting toxins and it ruins the whole bunch. The same is true with our sin. Every bit of our sin killed Jesus. Sent him to the cross. And so the deeds of the flesh, that list, becomes evident in our life. It becomes what we see. It becomes what we know. It becomes who we are. It becomes in our eyes, because the enemy is trying to make it that way, it becomes our character. It tries to mark us. It tries to say, this is who you are, and so this is what I'm marked by. And so then one turns into two and turns into six and turns into eight, and we start realizing that this is the way that we start walking through everyday life, and we start saying that this is my identity. This is who I am, and ultimately, the Bible tells us at the end of this verse that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I mentioned the L3 plan just a little while ago. I'm reading in the chronological plan, and I was in 1 Kings chapter 21 earlier this week, and it shook me because it went exactly with what we're talking about in this point specifically. Talked about King Ahab, and King Ahab had everything he wanted and everything he needed. And then he saw a man named Naboth's vineyard out the way. And he said, man, that's a good vineyard, and I want that vineyard. And he started whining and complaining about wanting that vineyard. And ultimately, his wife had Naboth killed so that he could have that vineyard. Sometime later, Elijah comes to King Ahab and reminds him of the path that he chose and reminds him and starts telling him and prophesying for him what God's path for him is later in life. This is not a new thing for us. This is human nature, and the deeds of the flesh becomes the things that we please. Now, praise God, there's a second side of this coin specifically that we can look at, and that we don't have to end on this. So what happens when we let the Spirit win? Let's have some good news now. Galatians 5:22-23 say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. This is who we can be in the Spirit. Now, here's the good news. You don't have to do anything but be available for God to do the work in you. It also may be a little bit relieving for you to know that all you need to do is get out of the way for the Spirit to do the work. You can't wake up one morning and go, I think I'm going to have more kindness today. That shirt, choose joy, is true, actually. You can choose joy, but only the Holy Spirit can do that work in our lives, specifically. You don't have to do the work. You're not the gardener in this case. You're the soil. Specifically, you don't have to be a green thumb. You just have to know what God can do and get out of the way specifically. Every spring break, we have an opportunity to take our teenagers at all of our campuses to go partner with some of our national and international partners all across the world. And I've had the chance to go to Clearwater, Florida a couple of times with an incredible church plant down there. And what we'll do is a group of high school students will come and we will help beautify their campus so that they could be a light in a very, very dark community there in Clearwater. Beautiful area, dark spiritually. And so we split up our teenagers into multiple teams and we go across the campus and we do some pretty big projects specifically. One project that I can remember a couple of years ago that I was in charge of, and I use air quotes very, very solemnly, was to remodel a kitchen. Now, I had never remodeled a kitchen in my life, and this was redo the countertops, this was to redo the cabinets, to change the sinks out, paint all the fixtures. The most I'd ever done was turn water on in a sink and paint a little bit. I'd never done anything else. And so the team leader there from Clearwater says, how much of this can you do? And I said, not a thing. And he said, don't worry. Get out of my way, do exactly as I say, and don't do anything else. Now, he had to emphasize don't do anything else multiple time and time again. But in 3 days' time, that was the most beautiful kitchen you'd ever seen in your life. I went home and I asked my wife if I could do ours, and she said no. But all I did was what I was told. Do you know that that's your walk with the Spirit? Just do what you're told. Don't try to add to. Don't try to take away. Follow the Spirit. He tells you to go this way. I might know a little bit better. No, just go. Just go. And then be filled with love, with joy, with peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Last part of this verse says, against all of these, there is no such law. The law was a big, big, big deal to the people of Galatia. And so as Paul puts this in there to say against these there is no such law, this is good news for him to realize that there is no law today in modern day times, right now in 2023, there is no law against love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against those things. And so we don't have to let the law cloud our judgment when we follow the Spirit. What I mean by that, the law is good, don't get me wrong. But every time you see a highway patrol officer on the side of the interstate, what does the car in front of you do? It hits the brakes. What do? You hit the brakes, right? Whether you're going 10 miles an hour over or 3 miles an hour under, you hit the brakes. Now, some of y'all need to repent because as soon as you pass that officer, you go back to your 10 miles an hour over. But every time you see him, you start thinking, don't speed. Is my seatbelt on? Where's my cell phone? Is it in the back seat? I'm not supposed to be. I got to be hands-free. All of these. I turn the radio down for crying out loud when I pass one. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, he may hear me, you know? It is. But we do that because immediately we start thinking about what not to do. If that's the way that you walk through your spiritual life, I would submit to you that you're not following the Spirit. If you're walking through this life going, don't cuss, don't be jealous, don't be greedy, don't be envious, don't sin, don't be sexually immoral, don't be, you're not thinking about what the things that God wants you to be. Instead, why don't we turn our hearts to, Jesus, I can't do this without you. I don't even want to try. God, I want you to fill my life with your Holy Spirit. Father, I need patience. God, I need self-control. Those are only things that your Spirit can give me, so I get out of the way today. Father, life has hit me from the left and hit me from the right, but God, I know that you can today, and so I put myself down and I pick what you want for me up. So you're not walking through life saying, don't. You're walking through life saying, fill me, fill me with what you have for me today. That's what happens when you follow the Spirit. It's what you're filled with, not what you're trying to prevent from. That sounds like good news, right? So how do we get there? Just walk by the Spirit. Great. Well, how do we do that? Two specific ways. One, crucify the flesh. This has already been done for you. That's what it says in verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Jesus Christ has already gone before us and handled this battle, this war within that's created, so to speak. The flesh has been crucified already because of what Jesus did for us. Because this is a big battle, y'all. This is a big war. And it's going on in every single person at all of our campuses and online. But Jesus has already fought. And he's already won. And he's already victorious. So one way is that we crucify the flesh. Trust the work that he's already done. A surrendered heart can be a saved heart today. And the second way is to walk by the Spirit. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If the Spirit leads and we follow, we are literally turning our back to the flesh and saying, I'm choosing Jesus. I'm trusting Jesus. All of this other stuff of the world, it's not going to win today. I'm going to choose what Jesus has for me. At all of our campuses this past month, we've been in Summerfest, right? Summerfest mode recently for our three metro campuses this past week and earlier in the month for Starkville and Oxford. And all of our kids had a shirt on the back of it that had Hebrews 12, chapter 2. It says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We're teaching our kids at a young age that the way that you walk by the Spirit is to fix your eyes on Jesus with everything that you have. That this world, the patterns of this world, it's going to try to conform, it's going to try to transform you. It's going to try to move you. It's going to try to shape you. But the Bible tells us don't be conformed by the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to say, flesh, you will not win today. I'm choosing Jesus, the author and the perfecter of my faith in everything I say, in everything I do. In my marriage, Jesus is going to come first. In my families, Jesus is going to come first. When I'm in my work conversations, Jesus is going to come first. At the gym, at the coffee shops, at the beach later this week, or maybe even right now for some of you, I'm going to choose Jesus in everything that's said and done. Therefore, I'm going to walk by the Spirit for every step. The flesh will not win today. But it's a choice that we have to make. You know, my son's at an age right now where he wants to help mom, and it's fun to help mom. It brings him joy and comfort kind of personally and a little bit of a purpose in life. He's 7 years old, and so she'll pull up from the grocery store, and he'll immediately, no matter what he's doing, it's kind of a fun age right now, he'll get up and he'll start going and unload the groceries, and he's pretty good at it for the most part. He'll go and he'll get the bags out of the back and he'll bring them in. He doesn't know where anything goes except for his own snacks, and so he'll get the bags and bring them in, and then he'll eventually get to where he can't do anything else because there comes that Sam's Club 30-pack of waters. And he's pulling and he's prodding, and I'll even come outside and it's kind of fun. I mess with him a little bit. I should be better than that, but I'm not. And I mess with him a little bit and I'm like, you good? And he's like, yeah, I got it. And he's pulling and he's yanking and he's trying to grab this, that, and the other. And eventually he says, I can't do it. And those are some of the best words as a daddy to hear from your son sometimes. He says, I can't do it, because the next thing is, can you help me? And so I go back there and I help him and I bring those waters in. And one day he'll be able to do it. One day he's going to have it covered. But right now he needs my help. We've been in a series on heaven, and there's going to be a one day for us where everything's going to be okay. Our pastor's led us so well to realize that and to take comfort in that. If you hadn't been a part of that series, I'd encourage you to go back and listen. One day everything's going to be okay if you know Jesus. But today you can't do it. You can't do it alone. And guess what? You weren't built to. And you weren't expected to. The war within cannot be fought by you and you alone. And so for some of us, we have to concede victory. The strongest thing that you could do for yourself today is to admit, I can't do it for myself. And to believe that Jesus is bigger, he's greater, he's stronger, and what he has for me is better than anything I could ever hope or imagine. And so we're going to respond to that end specifically today. Come on, a surrendered heart in this place can be a saved heart. It can be a place that we would say, Jesus, I can't do it without you. There's some men in the room right now. There's some men at the sound of my voice that don't like to ask for help. It's not a you should ask for help. It's a you got to ask for help if we're going to take this life seriously. No, we can't do it without him. And so step into his presence today. For some of you, that's going to be for the very first time in salvation. For some of you, it's the first time that you've heard, man, there is a war within myself right now, and I've let the flesh win each and every day. Every day, I'm just following the flesh, but that can change right now because you're breathing and God still has a plan for your life. And so you can turn from the flesh and you can fix your eyes on Jesus and you could follow the Spirit and trust what he wants to do in your life. And then you won't be filled with those things of the world. You'll be filled with love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control for the very first time. A work that only he can do. You don't have to be a gardener. You don't have to cultivate that fruit. You just got to lay down some good soil for him to do the work. Some of you may need to change these steps into altars. We're going to have friends across the front of all of our rooms, and you may need to just engage in conversation with somebody. Talk about what Jesus can do in your life. You can text PRAY to 57555 if you're online with us, and we have folks waiting right now to engage in conversation with you. But don't miss another moment, friends, if you're not following the Spirit and what he can do in your life. Don't waste another opportunity to turn away from the flesh and to fix your eyes on him and what he can do for you. And will you pray with me at all of our campuses? God, we love you. We trust you. We thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for the war that you have already won. God, yours is the victory because of what Jesus has done. And so, God, in this place today, God, would we be a people that are following the Spirit? And God, we turn our backs to the things of the flesh. God, they do not win today. God, they will not receive the victory. Yours is the victory already. And so we can see it in our own lives. God, do a work in our hearts right now. Father, we want to either get to know Jesus for the very first time or like never before. And so you be glorified in everything that's said and done in this place, and we'll be sure to trust you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.